All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and find Proverbs 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, we'll be looking at one verse tonight, and that'll be verse number 12. So when you found Proverbs 27, 12, if you would just keep track of where that's at in your Bible, and go ahead and look right up this way, and that way I'll know that you've got it. That is great. Proverbs 27, verse 12. Looks like most of you have it. If you do, would you stand with me, please, and let's look at the verse together tonight. You can follow along quietly while I read it. The Bible says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Father, please help us to be convinced by the truth of this passage tonight. May we gain the insight that it provides, and may we gain both the instruction and the conviction where that is needed this evening. And I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, I already told you this week that I was not much of a reader when I was a kid, but there was one type of book that I did enjoy reading when I was in elementary school, and back then, anyway, it was called a Choose Your Own Adventure book. Have any of you ever heard of those before? Okay, all right, so we got some even in the modern millennium that have heard of those books, and a Choose Your Own Adventure is basically a book that you do not know how it will end. It will end based on some decisions that you as a reader make in the book. It puts you kind of as a character, at least a decider, an author of the book. And so you might read along through whatever the theme of it is for three or four pages, and then you get to the bottom of the page, and it will give you two choices. And your first choice, it says, if you would like to do this, turn to page 82. If you'd like to do this, turn to page 105. And let's say you pick 105, you go to 105, and you get a couple more pages and another choice, and you go to another place, and it just bounces all around. But you actually could get to a very quick end if you make the wrong choice early in the book. And I don't know why, but it seemed like I tended to make all the wrong choices when I was reading those books. And so very rarely did my reading last me very long. Just to make sure you kind of understand what a Choose Your Own Adventure book is, I thought maybe we would try to do one tonight, okay? So I'm going to let you be the reader. I'll just describe to you the story, and you're going to help me pick what you would like to do in the story when we get a little bit further along in the story. So let's just suppose that you are out all by yourself in the beautiful forest surrounding West Branch, out enjoying nature on your own personal hike. You are just walking through the woods, enjoying God's creation, looking for wildlife, smelling the beautiful flowers, feeling the gentle breeze. When all of a sudden up ahead, around a rock outcropping, you think you hear just a little whisper of some type of noise or a voice. And so you walk up around those rocks, and as you get around those rocks, you look and you see kind of something rustling behind a bush. You make your way around the bush a little bit further, and there, lo and behold, is a little tiny baby black bear cub. And you're thinking, oh, how cute, how cuddly, how wonderful. And then you start to wonder something. If there is a little tiny cute black bear cub right over there, then where do you suppose is the great big ferocious black mama bear? And suddenly, your question is answered because behind you a good ways, you hear a noise and you look back and you see the flaring and snarling nostrils of a very angry and upset mama black bear. You have been trained for situations like this, and you know that the last thing you are supposed to do is run, but in the moment, you decide you have no better options, and so you take off running as fast as you can. And so you are darting in and behind trees and around bushes and over little ravines and beyond cactuses and trying to get over ridges and down into valleys and just trying to lose that black bear. When all of the time you hear that bear approaching, you can hear the pound of those pads on the forest floor. You can hear the breath of that bear, an angry bear that is chasing you, as you are running about as far as you can, as fast as you can, until you think you have no more energy to give. All of a sudden, up ahead of you, you find something you never expected to find in the forest in Arizona, but there is a huge, big, wide, rushing river right in front of you. There is one tree on the bank of that river, and here is the bear that is coming closer and closer and closer, and you have to make one important decision. Do I try to climb the tree, or do I jump into that raging river and see what happens to me? Now you have to vote. How many of you would like to climb the tree? Raise your hand if you want to climb the tree. How many of you would like to jump into the raging river? All right, we're going to jump into the raging river. So we turn over to page 76, where we find that as soon as you hit the river, you are shocked by the ice-cold mountain snow runoff water that is in that river, and you are knocked unconscious. And a couple of miles downstream, as you wash up on the beach, and just a couple of hours later, when that bear finds you, your body still somewhat warm, it devours every last bit of you. You made the wrong choice. Now, is there anybody kind of wondering what would have happened if you'd have climbed the tree? Would you like to revote? All right, how many of you would like now to climb the tree? All right, as you climb the tree, you hear the scraping of the bear at the bottom of the tree, ripping away layers and layers of bark. When all of a sudden, as you've gotten to the top of the tree, this very creative bear steps back, reaches behind itself, pulls out a Husqvarna chainsaw, and pulls it running on one pull, and zam! Cuts down the tree in one fell motion. It falls, you hit your head, and he comes and devours every last bit of you. This is based on a true story, just so you, no, not really. Well, in this particular case, there wasn't really a very good outcome, no matter which way you chose, was there? Interestingly enough, though, in the Bible, it often presents to us the idea that we as individuals can choose our own adventure, choose our own outcome, choose our own life. Did you notice that's what it said in the verse that we read tonight? Look back down at it if you would. Verse 12 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." In other words, a prudent man, a person who is thinking, who is observant, who is not just floating through life with no attention to what's going on around him, a person who's actually thinking a little bit about life, the Bible says he can foresee things. You say, well, I don't have the ability to tell the future. I don't have the ability to predict fortunes or to predict or to prophesy things. Well, maybe not in every smallest detail. But the Bible says that if you are a thinking person, you actually can predict quite a bit. You can actually look ahead of you and have a pretty good idea about what is going to happen. Now, in my family, I think I would be known as someone who is pretty good at looking ahead while I am driving and seeing a pothole and somehow hitting it head on anyway. As a matter of fact, I do that on a regular basis here at West Branch. Out on the main road leads up to my house, and I drive that multiple times a day, by the way. And it is not unusual. There is like maybe two potholes in the middle of the road. And every single time that we're going through, I manage to hit one. I know they're there. I see them coming. I think I should straddle them. I think I should drive to one side. I consider the idea of driving off-road just to get around them, and still somehow I hit the pothole. I remember when I was a kid, a neighbor friend of mine just was going to come over and play for a while, and he rode his bike. He lived about maybe an eighth to a quarter mile away. He was my closest neighbor. I lived in the country. And so he drove down his gravel road, hit our oiled road, and then up the driveway, and I'm watching him ride his bicycle all the way up the driveway, and I'm thinking, man, it sure looks like he's headed straight for our basketball pole. Boy, it sure looks like he's headed straight for our basketball pole. What do you know? He ran smack into our basketball pole. I'm thinking, couldn't you see it? As soon as you turn to drive up that driveway, there it was straight ahead of you. And there he was driving. He was looking. He was foreseeing, but he wasn't thinking. He was not actually smart enough. Don't tell him I said so. But he was not actually smart enough to make a little bit of a correction and maybe go around and hit the garage instead. I don't know. He ran right into a little basketball pole. It wasn't huge. Right into it with his tire, and he bounced right off of it, and he bounced right off the bike, and I bounced right off the ground laughing at him. That was an illustration of somebody looking ahead, but they could not actually see what was obviously coming. In the passage here, it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. The idea of the word evil here is trouble or harm. Do you know there are a lot of things in this world that have harmed a lot of people already? There's a lot of things in this world that have troubled a lot of people already. They have been there. They have done that. They have bought the t-shirt, and they would say to you, avoid this if you can, and yet people still repeat the same mistakes. It's kind of one of those things where, have you ever done something dumb and maybe a parent or a teacher or possibly a camp director says to you, what did you think would happen when you did that? You know, it's that kind of thing. And the problem is that we don't think ahead and we don't really expect to have the outcomes that we end up having. And in this verse, the Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So what does a person that is thinking do? He avoids the problem. It's not rocket science. You look around in life and you say, if I do that, bad things happen. I'm not going to do that. I've seen other people go through it. I don't want to go through that. I know that's going to be the result. Maybe I see the Bible tells me that's going to be the result. And I make the decision to avoid the problem. Let's suppose that the President of the United States was going to come through your town. Excuse me. The President of the United States has passed through either where I lived or where some close family lived a few times in my lifetime. And when the President of the United States comes through, I'm no expert on like Secret Service protocols or anything like that, but I'm sure, pretty sure that they kind of look ahead and kind of consider what would be the safest way to go, what would be the place with the least amount of problems that could happen. I remember when President Bill Clinton was passing through the town where I was born. I was already gone to college or somewhere else at that point, but my mother told me that she went to an overpass of the highway where he was going to drive through. And later on, I saw a picture of the motorcade of the president going through there. And later on, I thought that, you know, it's kind of weird that they were allowing random people to be standing on overpasses while the president of the United States was driving through. I mean, I'm sure his car was, bulletproof or whatever, but they didn't know about my mom's grenade launcher. And so, you know, I'm just kind of surprised to know that they would just let people be up there. Now, suppose that the president was coming through your town and the Secret Service found out that, in fact, there was plans to blow up a particular bridge that the president was going to cross. Now, you have never had formal training for the Secret Service. As far as I know, you have never gone through intensive schooling for this, but I'm just wondering if by chance you might know the very first idea that the Secret Service would have if they found out there was going to be a bridge that could be blown up where the president was going to travel. Anybody have an idea? What do you think they would do? Maybe take a different bridge. Does that make sense? Hey, we have a credible threat that there is somebody who has planted a bomb under the bridge that is on this Highway 17 going around this town. Okay, well, let's take a different highway. I mean, it's not that crazy. It's pretty predictable. And yet, that is the very type of common sense decision that seems to elude so many people today. A prudent man, a thinking man. It doesn't say a brilliant man. It doesn't say a man who has been around the world and back. It doesn't say a man who has read a lot of books. It just says a man who thinks. A man who thinks and looks ahead and says, you know what, I think that might hurt me. So I think I'll go a different direction. I think I will try a different path. But some people don't do that. And so the Bible says that the simple pass on and are punished. They just go the same direction, even though they see that what is going to happen is going to be bad, and yet they still go the same way. Now, here's the deal. This verse that we're reading tonight is from the book of Proverbs. And I have noticed that Proverbs provides path possibilities. In other words, there is proverb after proverb after proverb that lets you in on a little bit of wisdom that you might not already have. That says, if you do this, good things happen. But if you do this, bad things happen. And so it really doesn't matter if you have tons of experience. It really doesn't matter if you've made a lot of observations yourself in life. If you can open up your eyes and read Proverbs, you can find out that God gave you a cheat code to figure out how to figure out the best way in life. You can just read what God's word says, and it says, look, if you do this, not so good. But if you go this way, it's going to go a lot better for you. Let me show you a few examples, can I? Turn back to chapter 12. Proverbs 12 and verse 16. Proverbs 12, 16. The Bible says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. A fool's wrath, a man who blows up in anger. When you see someone who loses their temper, who loses their cool, who blows up and gets angry, it has very predictable results. Turn over back closer to where we started to Proverbs 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25, 28. Proverbs 25, 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, we could go into a political speech right here about our country and about walls and about all of that, and we're not going to, but the idea of walls now and why that is a controversy now is the same reason why every city that had any common sense in the old days in Bible times had walls. Because if you had walls, you had protection. If you had walls, you had defense. And if your walls were down, then you were going to be open to all sorts of dangers. And the Bible says that if you are the type of person who does not control your spirit, who does not control yourself, who does not control your temper, you're just opening up yourself for all sorts of problems. a phrase that you hear talked about a lot in today's society is domestic violence. Are you familiar with that? You know what I'm talking about, domestic violence? It's interesting because domestic violence is accurately a big problem. It is so much of a big problem that even a liberal world thinks it's a big problem. I am a sports fan, and I like to watch sports, but I do not make sports people my heroes because the vast majority of people in sports today, whether you're talking about the people that play, the people that coach, the people that manage, the people that own the teams, the vast majority of them are very liberal and godless in their thinking. And so in sports today, there are all sorts of evil things that they say are good things. And so that's why every major league team will celebrate Pride Month. God doesn't celebrate pride. God does not celebrate homosexuality. God says that it's an abomination. But it is something that is accepted in society today, unfortunately. By the way, don't believe the lie that most of this world is already in a homosexual lifestyle. That is not true. There is only a very small percentage. Now, unfortunately, the latest statistics say that your generation and the generation ahead of you, the percentages are much, much higher. Maybe as high as a quarter of the population or more. And that is a significant problem. That is a significant sin and a significant doom to our country. And this whole world does not understand it. But even the people who can't understand that look at something like domestic violence and they say, we're not going to have any patience for it. Guys who are all pros will have their careers ended because somebody accused them of domestic violence. You know, the truth is, it is a big problem. Most of the time, you are talking about a male that is taking out physical violence on a female. But not always. Sometimes it could be a male on a male. Sometimes it could be a female on a female. And actually, sometimes it is a female on a male. But regardless of what the situation is, it is the product of a spirit that is not controlled. It is broken down. It's without walls. It is anger uncontrolled. And there are probably people, I would guess, in this room who would actually say, I don't even necessarily need the Bible to tell me about that, because I've seen it. And it is something that many people in this world recognize, but the Bible said it thousands of years ago. If your anger cannot be controlled, it is going to lead to dangerous and terrible consequences. So anger is one of those paths that the book of Proverbs talks about. Go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 talks a little about, a little bit about our attitude towards the Bible. Did you know that there are two different paths you can take with your approach to the Word of God? Proverbs 13:13 says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." In other words, you can either despise what God has to say, or you can fear it in reverence and respect what God has said and follow what God has said and experience a reward, or you can despise it and experience the natural consequences of your sin and God's judgment. And it all starts with your attitude towards the Word of God. We've already heard about that this week. We ought to take good care of God's Word. We ought to have a respect for the Bible. But it is even more than just the book itself. It is about the very words that it contains. They are to be like a honeycomb to us. They are to be sweet to us. They are to be a desire to us. You say, well, but I don't love reading the Word of God. Can I give you a little bit of practical advice? Did you know that that will never change until you start actually spending time reading it? You are never going to magically all of a sudden go, whoa, I love the Bible. Now I'll start reading it. You say, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't do a lot for me. You get some help. You get some suggestions from somebody who loves God and somebody who loves you of where you can start reading, and you start chewing off a little bit of God's word each day, and every day before you read, say, God, help me to understand. God, teach me. This week, before I have opened up God's word, I have had days where I have said to God, God, I have got to have something from your word today. I must learn something. I have got questions that need answers. I have got weakness that needs strength. You have got to show me your word. And the Bible says that if we will approach his word in that way, we will find a very pleasant outcome. But if we despise it, we go down the wrong path. So the Bible is clear about our attitude toward God's word. You're in Proverbs 13, look down to verse number 20. Verse 20, the Bible talks as well about friendships, something else we've heard about this week. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Do you see how that is God saying, here's two paths. You don't have to wonder how it will turn out. You choose your own adventure. You can either walk with wise men and you will turn out being wise yourself, or you can find foolish people to hang out with and you will be destroyed. You don't have to wonder about it. It's just the way it's going to work. It's just the way it's going to happen. Look at chapter 14, verse number 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Look, guys, girls, as soon as you realize that one of your friends is speaking spiritual nonsense, that is speaking ridiculous, foolish words in comparison to God's word and in comparison to good counsel that you receive, it's time to shut your ear to what they are saying. You need to cut off the influence that they are giving to you. Discern. And by the way, can I just say this? That some of you will arrive back home at the end of this week with a new calibrated conscience for what is right and what is wrong. And things that used to sound okay to you are going to sound terrible. And at that moment where you realize that your perception has changed and you now have a little bit more of the wisdom of God, you better shut that foolishness off from you. Because if you do not, it is going to pull you down into great danger. I remember many, many years ago, we were at church on a Sunday night, I think it was, and there was a young man that was not at church that night. And his parents said that was because he was called into work. He had a shift that he was working, and he was out to work. Well, a few days later, I heard from our pastor, and then a little while after that, all of us from the church heard straight from this young man that all of that had been a lie. He was not scheduled to work that night, but some friends that he had made at work said, hey, we know you're supposed to go to church with your family, but they let you not go to church when it's a work conflict, so just tell them that you're going to go to work and come and hang out with us. And so he did. And so he was in the car with them. And so when the car crashed, he was seriously injured. And the next time he showed up at church, there really wasn't any way to hide what had happened. And so he came clean with the truth. And he asked the church to forgive him because he had intentionally deceived his parents and secondarily deceived the rest of his church, and had been with friends that had led him down the wrong path. The Bible predicts that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You just have to think. You just have to be willing to open your mind and think. Would you look at the very next verse of Proverbs 14? Proverbs 14, 8. Excuse me. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So, well, what does that mean? Again, the wisdom is a special understanding that's provided by God. Prudent is one who is thinking. And so there is a special understanding that God provides to those who think to understand his own path, to understand his own way. Guys and girls, would you look right up this way? If you want to think about it and you ask God's help in it, you can tell whether the path you are on right now is going to have a pleasant end or not. You can tell that in a general scope of your life. You can tell that in specific aspects of your life. It's up to you. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Do you do that? Do you think? Are you looking ahead? So it really comes down to a couple of choices. If you are willing to look ahead, you can either decide to change course and hide yourself from trouble, or you can decide to just continue on and be punished, listen, just like every other foolish person. And it really is up to you. Do you know what the word back in Proverbs 27:12 hideth himself? Do you know what that means? It means simply to not be present. It means to recognize that there is a danger, and so you take yourself out of the danger. Doesn't that make sense? If there is a building burning down, you don't run into it. If there is an active shooter in a building, unless you are, by the grace of God, a law enforcement, a first responder type person, and that is your job. If you're just a common citizen, you don't go running frivolously into one of those type of situations. If there is obvious danger, you make sure that you are not present for it. You stay away from it. Do you know the story of King David? Do you remember who the king was before David became king? Who was the king before David? It was Saul. Saul was the one that God said would become the first king, but he turned his back on God, and so God sent Samuel to ordain, to anoint David to become the next king. He did not really give a timeline for that. He just said, you will be the next king. In the process of time between his anointing and between his becoming king, David actually became very close to King Saul. He was one who would play the harp, to play music, to soothe a very bad spirit that would come at times on Saul. He also was the one who was the champion of Israel, who killed Goliath and really kind of saved Saul's bacon there. It was a bad situation, and David stepped in, and by the power of God, he won the day. But for every good thing that David did for Saul, Saul reacted in bitterness and resentment and jealousy. So much so that at one point, Saul took a javelin, and while David was playing that harp, he threw it at David, and he missed David, but he stuck that javelin into the wall. And so there is one of those great understatements in the Bible where David comes to King Saul's son, Jonathan, who is David's closest friend, and says, I believe that your father is planning harm towards me. David was a smart kid. He could figure out when things were not going the right direction. And so the Bible says they set up this plan. He said, I believe Saul wants to do me hurt But there is a feast where we are all supposed to come together and we're all supposed to have a meal. And he says, I'm not showing up. It was kind of a test, but it was also just good practical sense. Really, the last time he had been in Saul's house, Saul threw a very sharp object at him. He didn't really want to repeat that. And so you know what he did? He hid himself. He took him out of that situation. He removed himself from the possibility of being present for that. And the Bible says, when you can look ahead and you can see where your path is going, stop going that way. Don't go that way anymore. Hide yourself. Remove yourself. Come up with a way to get out of the presence of that danger that you were putting yourself in. Now, that could be true about danger that is coming upon you, but I'm specifically talking about danger that you bring upon yourself because of the wrong choices that you make. So the Bible says you can hide yourself, or you can just walk on and be punished. I cannot help but think again of my friend. I already told you about him. Remember the guy who, with his friends, wanted to go out and shoot BB guns, but they didn't have any way to hold up their targets. And so they talked him into reaching around the tree and holding that. And my friend said, they shot up and down my arms. And the very first thing, I thought two things. Number one, I thought, let go of the target. And number two was what I already said earlier. What did you think was going to happen? They weren't trying to have a way to hold it up. They just wanted to have somebody stupid enough that they could then aim at his arms. Look, it might be funny when it's my friend when he was a kid, but look at me and listen. It's not funny when it's your life. Your life is too important. Your life is too valuable to just waste it by not thinking and not looking ahead. You have got to make a decision. Am I going to be a thinking person or am I going to be a fool? A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, just before we close, could I give you a few practical suggestions? And I don't know, some of you are taking notes. If you do, I would write these down. And maybe if you haven't and you have a way to, I would encourage you to write these down. Number one is this. Observe the lives of other people. Observe the lives of other people. For 2 years full time, and then for, I don't know, 10 or 12 years additionally part-time, my family and I traveled in a fifth-wheel RV. I have several friends who, before I ever started pulling an RV, had a truck and a trailer and were pulling an RV themselves. And what I noticed about their lives was that they had a lot of problems. I noticed that their RVs, excuse me, often broke down. I noticed that their tires often popped while they were driving somewhere. I noticed that things that, as far as I know, and I'm not very mechanically inclined, but as far as I know, I think they're supposed to stay connected. Things like axles would suddenly be in two pieces instead of one. And these are the kind of things that they would be going through. They would have leaks in their closet and leaks in their living room and leaks here and leaks there and leaks in their slide outs. And their slide outs wouldn't work and all these kind of things. And so when we determined that we were going to live in a fifth-wheel travel trailer full-time for we didn't know how long, and God provided for us the ability to actually purchase a new fifth wheel right from the get-go, I went around to the people that I saw had the least amount of problems with their RVs, and I asked them for help. And without trying to be mean to our other friends, I would say, you know, I've noticed on so-and-so's trailer that every year in August when he takes the trailer out, his tires blow. Why is that? And he told me it's because the sun, while their tires just sit there, just bake it and it rots the tires, and that you got to get covers. So anytime you're stopped someplace where it's sunny, and what do you know? I live in Arizona. It's pretty sunny here. And I was spending a lot of time in Phoenix, that I should put covers on them. So I did. And I said, what else can you tell me? And he said, you ought to get what's called G-rated tires. He said, if you get G-rated tires, these tires will never blow. I had this trailer for 12, 14, we actually still have it. We just don't move it anymore. Brother Walker's staying in it this week. You know, I never had one tire pop or blow on that trailer the whole time we had it. I did have to replace the tires, but only because the actual tread wore out. I didn't even know that was possible on an RV tire. I never knew they got that far down. Now, I am not telling you this because I am so amazing mechanically. I am telling you this because I knew I wasn't. And because I knew, listen, because I knew that I did not have enough sense myself to know what to do, I started watching other people. And can I tell you that I've actually done that in life too? How many of you have older brothers or sisters? Watch their life. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm saying some of the things you see, you might go, that's good. I want to do that. But if, unfortunately, even if you're just talking about some little part of their life, just some little aspect of your life, you see something and you think, I don't like the way that turned out. Tuck it in your brain. I have two brothers. They're 12 and 14 years older than I am. There were a couple of things they did after they got married when they had families, and I was still a kid, and I watched it, and I saw it, and I said, by the grace of God, I will never do that. And I would further say, they didn't do it very long either. But I learned lessons by watching other people. You say, well, I don't want to become a critical person. I'm not talking about being a critical person. I'm talking about having a little bit of sense and seeing that there are results of decisions. And you don't have to be a critical person. I'm not talking about going to people and saying, hey, you made a stupid decision. Hey, that was bad. Hey, that was dumb. Hey, I wouldn't have done that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about looking down on them. I'm just saying, you know, I haven't had to go through that, but they did. I'm going to try to learn the lesson now. They say that experience is the best teacher. I don't want to go through everybody's experiences. So if you can look down the path they went and see where it led, and you can look at your own path, you can decide to go a different way. And I don't just mean with siblings. I'm just talking about anybody out there in the world. Somebody in your school, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody out in pop culture. Pay attention and observe other people. Can I say, secondly, consider the spirit of your friends. Consider the spirit of your friends. We already talked about friends. Excuse me. We already talked about friends. But if you will pay attention to the attitude that your friends have, it can make a big difference in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, make no friendship with an angry man. You know how we talked about both the idea of anger and if you lose your temper and the bad things that can happen? And we also talked about friends. When you put the two together and you have angry friends, you're going to become angry yourself. If you hang out with people who are bitter, you're going to become bitter yourself, even if you have nothing to become bitter about. And can I just say that this is something that experience did teach me? I have been there. I have done that. I have hung out with people with a bad spirit, and it rubbed off on me. So be careful the spirit of your friends. Number three, listen to warnings. Listen to warnings. You say, well, that's what you're doing right now, right? Warning me? Well, yes. But I mostly mean other people in your life who care about you, who come up to you and say, hey, I see the way you're going and I'm concerned about that. Listen. You know, I told you that I hung out with a bitter friend and it started to rub off on me and I started to become an angry person myself until one day another friend of mine who happened to be about a foot and a half shorter than me and also happened to be my aunt dragged me into a side room at the school where I attended and stuck her finger up in my face, which was about at the end of her arm, and said, what is the deal with you? You're not going the right direction. I don't like the change in you. You need to get this straightened out. And I will tell you that was a turning point in my life. But it can only be a turning point in your life if you will listen. So listen to warnings. And then I would say this, would you consider your own spirit? If you are even right now in your seat thinking, man, I wish you'd just get off my case. I wish all these preachers would just get off my case. I wish they would just leave me alone. I'm fine. I don't need their help. I don't need what they're talking about. Look, you don't need me, but you do need the Word of God. And you do need that. And if your spirit right now is resisting, 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 I would take notice of that. You're on the wrong path. So friend, it really is up to you. Now, the truth is that it could be that your whole life is on a wrong path. And your whole life is going in a certain direction. So much so, can I just say this? I've been doing this camp thing for a long time. 25 years at West Branch, several years, about 6 years before that in Tennessee as well. So over 30 years. And so I've seen a generation or two of young people. I knew some of your parents when they were teenagers. And I have observed a lot of people. And I will tell you that over and over and over again, I have seen young people and I have thought, I'm just a little bit worried about them. Just a little bit worried about them. Just a little bit worried about them. And 3, 4, 5, 6 years later, I figured out why I was worried about them. And I'll tell you, there are some of you in this room tonight, I'm just a little bit worried about you. Now, by the grace of God, there's some of you in this room tonight, I'm pretty happy about you. But I can't always see everything either. And I will tell you that there have been young people that have sorely disappointed me because I thought they were going in a right direction and I found out later the only direction that was going right was on the outside and everything that was on the inside was completely a different direction. And I could name you names tonight of campers that sat here a few years ago. I could name tonight for you staff who sat here a few years ago that have completely chosen a different direction. So I'm just saying tonight, would you look ahead and think and be honest with yourself and don't expect to be the exception. I have a friend who says that he could write the history of a lot of people he sees. And what he means by that is before it happens, you can see it. And that might be true with me a little bit at times, but it's not nearly so important for me to be able to write your history as it is for you to. And you can, if you will look ahead, see where you're headed with your life, with particular things, with whatever God's been convicting you about, but you've said it's not that big of a deal. It's a deal. If God's talking to you about it, it's a big deal. Think, look, decide, and hide yourself. Would you do that tonight? Let's bow for prayer.